And if you would, turn to Luke chapter 18. We'll start there and be kind of bouncing around a little bit this morning. So I hope you got your fingers loosened up, ready to do some turning. But in Luke chapter 18, we'll start there in just a moment. You may recall last time when we were here, we started a study dealing with some words in the Scripture, particularly in the New Testament, Greek words that are translated sometimes as faint or have that meaning to faint. And we began looking at some of those. The first one of those that we looked at, you may recall, was it talks about fainting through relaxation. And the picture there is of an archer pulling back on his bowstring. And the tendency of that string is to want to be released from the restraint of the archer to go back to the relaxed position. And that's the idea of fainting through relaxation. And we talked about many different uses of that in Scripture and how we can fall into that trap of fainting because of that. And then we began looking at another word is fainting through erosion. And the picture of that particular word, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce the Greek words or anything like that, but fainting through erosion, the picture there is like if you were going over a road and you saw a road closed sign, and you look at the road, and as far as you can tell, it looks just fine. But underneath, there has been an erosion going on, and the danger is that road is getting ready to collapse because of the erosion going on underneath. And that's the other picture. That's another picture of one of the Greek words that is used for faint. And you know, in the Christian life, there's many different things that can cause us to faint. And really, one of the things that drew me to looking at this is there's a verse in Jonah. I think it's chapter 2, where you know Jonah he's been swallowed up by the great fish. And it says that when Jonah, he said, when he fainted, he remembered the Lord. And I thought to myself, isn't that what we need to do? Anytime that we are getting ready to faint, we need to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so each of these times of fainting we've looked at, the solution to that is in some way to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remember him. So we came to this one last time is where we left off in Luke chapter 18, thinking about in verse number 1, where he says that he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and to not faint. Or your translation might say lose heart or something like that. But the idea is there of fainting, to pray and to not faint. And in looking at this, I really got thinking about some things in our lives of ceasing in prayer. Ceasing in prayer. I don't know about you, but as I know in my own life, one of the areas that I have struggled in is my prayer life. Our prayer lives, I think, are constantly under attack because I know that the enemy knows the power of prayer probably maybe better than we do sometimes. And tries to bring hindrances to our lives so that we might struggle and maybe even faint in prayer at times. And so I hope that some of these things that we're going to look at will help us not fall into that trap of fainting in prayer. But before we actually thinking about reasons why, or rather the first thing I want to look at is perhaps reasons why we sometimes do faint in prayer. And this was rather convicting to me in a lot of ways. So the first reason that I'd like to look, and this is where we're going to be looking at some different scriptures. Some I won't even have you turn to. We'll just look at them. I'll just mention them to you. But first, the first reason is when the answer does not come as expected. And maybe you can relate to that. Maybe there's times that you have prayed about something, and when you got the answer was not exactly what you expected. And I can remember Several years ago, the man who actually led me to the Lord, one of the things that he struggled with was patience. Sometimes he would lose patience. Sometimes he had two little daughters, and sometimes, at least when I met them, they were little then, they're grown now. But sometimes they would do things that would make him kind of lose his patience. Or maybe you can relate to being out on the road and a driver cuts you off or do something to make you lose patience. And I see some smiles out there, so I think some of us can relate to that in some way. And so there's different things that could happen to cause us to lose patience. And so he said, "Will you pray for me so that the Lord will give me patience?" And so he began to pray for patience. Well, the answer did not come as expected, because rather than the Lord just giving him patience, things started happening. Trials started coming. Problems started coming. And it was almost like he was, his patience was even being tried even more, was the effect of that. And of course, then Romans 5:3 says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works patience or perseverance." And so when he was praying for patience, he didn't realize that he was actually praying for tribulation to come into his life. So the answer might not always come as expected. And so there's different things that we could think about that. I was also thinking about Joseph. And we won't take time to turn there because I know you're familiar with the story. But thinking about Joseph, when Joseph was thrown into the pit by his brothers, do you think he began to pray? I imagine he did. There's not a record of it, but I can feel fairly certain that he probably was praying while he was down there in that pit. "Lord, deliver me from this pit." But he probably didn't think about being delivered in the sense of being drawn up out of the pit and then sold as a slave to go into work in Potiphar's household. And then even in Potiphar's household, when he was there and he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, maybe he was praying, "Lord, deliver me from this false accusation." And the deliverance from that wasn't maybe what he thought it was going to be, and he was sent to prison. And so we don't know sometimes what that answer is going to be when it comes. And so it may not come as expected. And that could be one reason why we sometimes might faint in prayer. And then then on the flip side of it, when Joseph was in prison, maybe he was praying, "Lord, deliver me from the prison." But maybe then he was thinking, "You know, I've done this twice already. I don't know where this is going to go." But, you know, if he continued to pray, and we don't know that he did, but if he continued to pray about it, he didn't faint in prayer. But this time the Lord delivered him, and now he's second in command in Egypt. So the answer might not always come as expected when we ask God for things. But nonetheless, we cannot faint in prayer. The second reason that I was thinking of is sometimes the answer does not come when it's expected. And I was thinking about, and this is another one I'm sure we're all very familiar with. We don't need to turn there, but thinking about Mary and Martha. And you remember how Lazarus was going to die. He was very sick, and they sent word to Jesus, and he waits. He doesn't come immediately, does he? And so by the time when he finally gets there, Lazarus has already died. And you remember how both Mary and Martha, they said, "Lord, if you had only been here, our brother would not have died." And so for them, the answer didn't come when they expected it to come. And so they're distraught, obviously, because now their brother has died. But then the Lord raises Lazarus to life. What a glorious answer to their request to him come and to help their brother out. And so sometimes it just doesn't come when it's expected either. But nonetheless, when it doesn't come, when we might expect it to come, His timing is always right, isn't it? His way is always right. So we have to continue to pray. We can't faint in prayer when that happens. And then sometimes the answer just is not what I want. The answer might not be just exactly what I want. If you would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Thinking about the Apostle Paul and all that that he went through. And we know, we all know that we have the right to approach God. And what a blessing. We'll talk more about that later. But, you know, He wants us to ask in a way that we're ready to accept whatever His answer is for us, trusting Him as a loving Father. But sometimes the answer just isn't exactly what I want it to be. And this was the case of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse number 7. And he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." And you know, have you ever read or studied any of the prayers of the Apostle Paul? They're not shallow prayers, are they? His prayers are not shallow prayers. He has deep, substantive prayers, particularly when he's praying for the churches. And it says that he prays all the time. Daily he's praying for these churches. What a man of prayer. You know, I think if there was one man, other than, of course, the Lord Jesus, if there was a man that I would want to be praying for me, I think it'd be the Apostle Paul. And so here Paul is praying, and he prays three times that it might depart. And notice in verse 9, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for thy strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore..." And look at his answer. Look at his response to God's answer. Because his desire isn't what God answered. His desire was, "Lord, remove it. Remove it from me." Three times he asked him to remove it from him. But now God says, "No, I'm not going to remove it from you." But notice Paul's response. He didn't faint in prayer. He said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." And so, sometimes God just doesn't answer what we ask, does he? He might just say, "No, that's not what I'm going to do for you because I know what's best." And so to not faint in prayer when it comes to these things. Maybe you have a thorn in the flesh. Maybe you have something that you have been asking God to deal with in a particular way. And you know, it might not be his will. It might be that his answer is, "My grace is sufficient for you at this time." And it's good to see these examples in Scripture so that we can have a broad perspective on prayer, so that we don't just, you know, if I'm going to pray and the answer doesn't come with what I want, why even pray, right? It would be easy to fall into that trap rather than looking at it from God's perspective and to know that He knows what's best for us, and He's going to allow those things that He wants us to have, regardless of whether we ask or not. But He wants us to keep asking and to trust Him, knowing that His grace is always sufficient. A fourth reason why we might faint in prayer is that the answer does not even seem to come at all. Maybe you feel like that there is just no answer. Because we all know that in dealing with kids, we used to sing this song, and I'm not going to sing it for you. I'll spare you that punishment. But we used to sing this song that sometimes God answers yes when I pray. Sometimes God answers wait when I pray. And sometimes God answers no just because he loves me so. But I know God always answers when I pray. We used to sing that song, you know, with the kids a lot. But to know that God, one of his answers is wait. We are not good at waiting sometimes, are we? Waiting is not easy. One of the things that I struggle with asking the Lord and having to wait is praying for the salvation of someone. That's tough waiting, isn't it? Especially, I think I've mentioned, you know, praying for my dad before in different times that I've been here. And I know some of you have said that you've prayed for my dad, and I appreciate that. Had a good opportunity. He came down at Easter and had a good opportunity to go all the way through the gospel with him. And we prayed when we had a lot of people praying for him, knowing that he was coming. And unfortunately, he still does not believe. But, you know, we can't stop praying. To wait, it's tough, isn't it? I know my dad's days are numbered. And, you know, when you look at all, when you consider all of these different reasons why we might faint, sometimes we don't know which situation we're facing. We don't know whether we're praying about something that God is going to say, no, my grace is sufficient. We don't know whether the answer is going to come in a different way than we expect it to come. We don't know whether the answer is going to be just wait, do we? We don't know which of those scenarios we're in. But regardless, he still wants us to be convicted that fainting is not the way to go. Fainting in prayer, giving up in prayer. But sometimes when we are told to wait, it's not easy. If you would turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. This was in our reading schedule not too long ago, going through 1 Samuel. And I was reminded of this going through there. But in 1 Samuel chapter 1, in verse number 2, let's go to verse number six. And of course, this is Hannah and Elkanah, and he has another wife, Peninnah, I think it is, something like that. And so Peninnah has children, Hannah has no children, and when they would go up to the sacrifice, Peninnah was always provoking Hannah in many ways because she did not have any children. But look at verse number 6. And her adversary also provoked her relentlessly to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. You know, as we read this, I don't think that we know the full gravity of what it was like for a woman in that society to be childless, particularly to not have a son, but to be childless. And so here the Lord had shut up her womb. And notice in verse number 7, and as he did so, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. But what struck me there is the little phrase, year by year. This happened year by year by year by year. Hannah was faced with this being provoked because she didn't have any children and it was weighing on her. But, you know, do you think she was praying all that time? Yeah, I about guarantee she was praying all that time. We don't know that for certain. It doesn't actually tell us that. But we do know that this time in verse number 9 that Hannah rose up after she had eaten at Shiloh and after she had drunk. And now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul. And what'd she do? She prayed. She prayed. She prayed unto the Lord, and she wept bitterly, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt look upon the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a male child, and I will give him unto thee, unto the Lord, all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass that as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli observed her mouth and so on. And of course, he looks at her and her mouth is moving and no words are coming out verbally. And so he thinks that she's drunk and so on. But then he assures her of the answer of her prayer. But you know, you think of all those years of praying year by year by year when she's tormented and she's praying. Man, to know that she didn't give up in prayer. She kept on praying. She cried out to the Lord in her desperation and in bitterness of soul. She cried out to the Lord. I tell you what, that is encouraging to me about prayer, because we don't know how long it was. How long it was that she was praying that the Lord would give her a son, and finally the Lord answered that prayer. But she didn't faint in prayer. She kept on year after year after year. You know, when that answer does not seem to come, think about something. What's something that you've been praying about for a long time? Are you tempted to faint? Are you tempted to say, you know, I've been praying about this for so long, and it just seems like there is no answer? It would be so easy to, in our limited knowledge of what is happening now and our no knowledge of exactly what's going to happen in the future. I mean, we know what God tells us about the future, but as far as our immediate future, what's going to happen in our lives and the answers to these prayers, to keep on praying, to keep on, to not give up, to not faint, when it just seems like there is no answer that is coming at all. And Hannah received her answer. And I was thinking about that scripture in Isaiah 40, where he says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary." It's easy to be weary. It's easy to feel like you're going to faint in prayer when there's no apparent answer that is coming to that request. And he says, "And they shall walk and not," what is the word? "Faint." They shall walk and not faint. To wait on the Lord in that way. Another reason that could cause us to faint in prayer is that there could be sin hindering my prayer life. I remember as a young believer, The man who led me to the Lord encouraged me to memorize this verse in Psalm 66:18. And in Psalm 66:18, I'm sure you're probably very familiar with it, but he says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." I mean, it's pretty black and white, isn't it? Pretty black and white. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so there could be sin that is hindering my prayer life. You know, knowing that if we're going to be involved in the discipline of prayer, and it is a discipline, then obviously we don't want any hindrances to that to happen. So that behooves us, when we come to Him in prayer, to examine ourselves to make sure there's not going to be any hindrances to the Lord answering that prayer. Someone has well said that prayer will keep you from sinning, or sin will keep you from praying. And so sin can be a hindrance to our prayer life in that way and cause us to faint in prayer. And then another one that I came across is not praying in the Spirit. Have you ever thought about that? This was kind of, I never really thought of it this way. Have you thought of praying in the Spirit? Now, I'm not talking about like what some, you know, groups go off on when it comes to all kinds of gibberish and things like that. And that's not what I'm talking about at all. So don't get me wrong on that, please. But in Ephesians 6:18, he says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." Have you ever noticed that phrase? Have you ever thought, do I pray in the Spirit? Because that's an important thing. Not only is it mentioned in Ephesians 6:18, but in Jude, in verse number 20, he says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like, Neil, you said something about, I don't remember, it was something about you said, the way this was worded implies that there's the converse, right? So if we are instructed to pray in the Spirit, then does that not imply that we could pray in the flesh? Or to pray not in the Spirit? You know what? This was a new thought for me, to be honest with you. I never thought of praying in the Spirit. You know, have you ever been guilty of going through the motion of prayer? I know I have. I've been guilty of it in a meeting just like this. I've been guilty of it so many times where I know I'm supposed to pray, so I pray. And I go through the motions of praying. Or we have a chapel directory. And this convicts me. I have decided that I divided the chapel directory up into days so that I can pray through our chapel directory in a week. And you might think, well, man, that's great that you're doing that, right? Well, I wonder how many times I've done that because I've committed that I'm going to do it, but I'm not really praying in the Spirit. I'm just going through, looking at the names, calling out their names, and not really praying in the Spirit. Just going through the motions. I've been so guilty of that, praying in the Spirit. You know, if I'm just praying in the flesh and not really in the Spirit, you know, it'd be easy to say, well, what's the difference? I don't need to do this, you know. Faint in prayer. He wants us to pray in the Spirit. Another one that strikes me, and this really convicted me as well, is laziness. I think one reason we faint in prayer is really simply because of laziness. Because prayer is work. And maybe this is one of those ones that just applies to me, but I know that there has been too many times I have just been too lazy to continue in prayer. Just too lazy. Colossians chapter, I was just going to read it, but I love this example of Epaphras. It really speaks to my heart. In Colossians chapter 4, Paul is commending certain ones, and he comes to Epaphras, listen to what he says in verse number 12. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you. Listen to what he says. Please listen to what he says. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Man, we need Epaphrases in the church today, don't we? We need to be Epaphrases. Not just that we need them, but this is what we need to be. But you know, I really believe prayer is work. It's labor. Have you ever heard that phrase, laboring in prayer? I think it's appropriate, isn't it? It is work. It's easier to sit down and watch a TV show. Look at my phone. See who's posted something on Facebook. You know, I got to clear out my email. Whatever it might be. It's so easy to get distracted by lesser things because prayer is work. It's work. And I know for myself, I need to be convicted about always laboring fervently in prayer. I think that's one of the reasons we faint in prayers. We're just lazy. We just give up because it's work. Colossians chapter 4, here we are, verse number 2, says, to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Earnestly in prayer. You know, I wonder if at Shandhills Bible Chapel, if we asked people, say, Who would you name as somebody who is fervent in prayer? I wonder if my name would even get an honorable mention. You know what I'm saying? Because you and I both know people that we can go to because we know they labor in prayer. Don't we know those people? And we know that if we go to them, probably when you see them the next time at a meeting or if they call you, whatever, they're going to say, well, how is this going in your life that you asked me to pray about? Because they're fervent in prayer. I want to be one of those people, don't you? I want to be fervent in prayer. Not because I want to be recognized by people. That's not it. Because it honors the Lord. And that's what he would have for us, rather than fainting to be. So here's an example. I was going to take time to turn there, but I won't. Oh, my. We only got 2 minutes left. So real quick, you remember when Jesus took the disciples up on into the garden to pray when just before he was betrayed by Judas? And so he took Peter, James, and John. He went a little further with them, right? And he said, stay here and I'm going to go yonder and pray. And he came back, and what had happened? Fell asleep, didn't they? He went and prayed again. Came back. They fell asleep again. He came back another time. And you remember what he said? This really touched my heart. He said, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? The Lord would go out and he'd spend like all night in prayer at times. And this is the night when he was betrayed. This is the night when he was pouring out his soul to God in agony, anticipating going to the cross and bearing our sin. And he asked those three to pray with him. And they couldn't do it. They fell asleep. Then what happened? Jesus is arrested. He's nailed to the cross. And what is he doing? Praying. He's praying. And he even told Peter. You remember what he told Peter? I think it was in, I can't remember where, John 13 maybe. He told Peter that he warned him, you're going to deny me 3 times, but I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And then Peter goes, Lord asks him to pray with him, and he falls asleep. Wow. The Lord didn't faint in prayer, did he? He prayed several times. Even while he was on the cross, he never fainted in prayer. What an example of prayer. Laziness can be a reason why we faint. Real quick, I'm not going to have time to get into this, but in Satan's opposition, in Daniel chapter 12, I wish we had time to turn there, but in Daniel chapter 10, you remember how Daniel had prayed, and he had prayed, and he had prayed, and the answer never came until finally, I forget how many days later it was now, when the answer finally came, and there was that satanic opposition to the answer coming to Daniel. There could be satanic opposition. I wish we had more time to look at that. But I think we need to realize the seriousness of prayer. That's what it speaks to me. The seriousness of prayer. The devil does not want us to pray. The enemy probably is more convinced of the power of prayer sometimes than we are. And there's these, could be hindered by that. A lack of faith, James chapter 1, sometimes we ask, we don't ask in faith. And so that can be a reason why we do not, why we sometimes faint in prayer. I had one more, but I think I'll save that. I'll save that for when we come back at the next meeting in just a little bit. Thank you for hearing. I hope that looking at these because I think we need to identify the reasons why we sometimes faint in prayer so that when it happens, we'll recognize it. We'll recognize it and we'll go to the Lord and say, Lord, I feel like I'm about to faint in prayer. Help me to continue on in your strength. Because we can't do it in the flesh. It has to be in the Spirit. And may the Lord challenge us to do so. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and how it convicts and challenges us. We confess, Father, we're weak, that we fail. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning, because we certainly fail often and we need your mercies. And we pray that you'll help us to be men and women like Epaphras, who pray fervently, fervently for your people and for your work and for you to work. And Father, may you be glorified as you work in us as we come to you in prayer, and you change us to be men and women of fervent prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.